Michigan sugar beet crops could use some rain. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Michigan Ag Today News, brought to you by Verpixo Fungicide by Corteva Agriscience, a novel mode of action to protect sugar beets. Michigan's sugar beet crop is navigating a unique set of challenges this growing season, as persistent dry weather and strict disease management take center stage.
We haven't had a good soaking rain since June. I only picked up about a half inch of rain for the entire month of July, and it came in 2/4 inch events. When it's 90 degrees, you can't sustain extended periods without rain.
That's Mike Huftaling, a Michigan sugar beet producer based in Tuscola County. He says the lack of consistent rainfall this summer is expected to have a major impact on yield come harvest time.
Typically on dry year, we're going to have lower tons per acre. We really want 30 to 33 ton per acre. 35 ton per acre would be great. Right now we're on a trajectory of probably 28 tons. So we're going to see less tonnage, but typically in a dry year, we actually see better sugar content.
While overall disease pressure remains low compared to previous years, growers are taking no chances with Cercospora leaf spot, a fungal disease that has severely damaged crops in past seasons. Huftaling noted that his operation is following a strict preventative fungicide schedule.
So we got creamed the last 2 years with Cercospora leaf spot. So this year we started spraying earlier and we stuck to a strict 14-day schedule. So we're out there with fungicide, putting a protectant on every 14 days. So we sprayed them 5 times already with fungicide and we'll probably do them 3 more times. But we just can't lose the amount of money we lost in the past from Cercospora.
Due to the smaller size of the crop resulting from the delayed planting window, harvest operations are expected to kick off much later than usual, pushing toward a September 15th start date rather than the typical launch here in mid-August.
We're behind. We're still 2 weeks behind. We started out planting about 2 weeks late. We've just been 2 weeks late all season with crop development. The crop's actually very healthy, much better, healthier crop than last year at this time, but boy, we need a rain. It is so dry and you know, we're running out of clock. We need the rain.
Hear more from Michigan sugar beet producer Mike Huftaling and read the full story. It's at MichiganAgToday.com.
Looking for heavy equipment but don't know where to buy? Purple Wave Auction has you covered. Always online and always no reserve. It's your destination for construction or ag equipment ready to work. We even sell semis, trailers, and fleet equipment for your operation. Best part? It's free to join. Head to purplewave.com. That's purplewave.com. Sign up for a free account and start bidding today. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Hi, I'm Luther Marquardt, and I'm Executive Vice President of the American Sugar Beet Growers Association, and you're listening to Michigan Ag Today.
Largely precipitation-free in Michigan through the day today, but we're not done with moisture just yet. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with that Michigan Farm Forecast. Biggest area of activity today running from southern parts of Minnesota and Iowa down through central Indiana and southwest Ohio. On track to see a significant area of strong to severe weather later this afternoon and evening. Now we will maybe see a little bit of an offshoot of that in far southwestern tier counties of Michigan as we move it toward midnight and into early tomorrow morning. But I think today we are largely dry, or I should say precipitation free in Michigan. Now, once we get done with that stuff in southwest Michigan tomorrow morning to midday, I do think tomorrow is largely dry in Michigan as well, especially central and north. And then we can move into the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. This is where our best chances of rain are going to be coming back. Saturday, we see it mostly over central and southern parts of lower Michigan. Sunday, I think it's going to be a full tilt. Everybody gets some action. And finally, by the time we get into Monday morning, it is moving away. Over the weekend, I think we can pick up anywhere from 1.5 to 1.5 inches easily. Strong to severe weather, I'm not going to rule it out, but I do think the focal point for the biggest threat is going to be farther to the south. Next week, dry Monday afternoon and early Tuesday. Honestly, I think we might be able to put together a precipitation-free forecast until probably Wednesday sunrise, and then we get hit-and-miss scattered showers for Wednesday afternoon. Drier again for Thursday, Friday, and early Saturday before rains come back closer to the 23rd. The week of the 24th also is looking drier overall. So after big-time rains tried to move through the eastern Corn Belt, we're going to be seeing that pattern shift a little bit farther north to start, and then farther south as we move through that last full week of August. I'm Ryan Martin.
proven genetics, extensive performance information, and the support of a team dedicated to your success. That's what you'll find inside the pages of the 2027 Seed Guide from Seed Genetics Direct. View the Seed Guide online and find published prices for the seed you want, seed that's been field tested here, there, and everywhere across the Eastern Corn Belt. Because for Seed Genetics Direct, seed is not just business, it's personal. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
USDA released its monthly WASD report at noon Eastern Time Wednesday. Here with a look at the impact on the grain markets is Andy Eubank and Tom Fritz with EFG Group. They spoke at the close of trade Wednesday.
Double-digit gains in the markets, corn, beans, and wheat, and it really started before USDA, where the news was kind of mixed. But when you add it all together, including, Tom, a Ukraine strike on a Russian port and grain facility, a positive day, maybe even a banner day.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Andy, especially after yesterday. You know, yesterday the rumor was, I think it came out of Turkey, and that they were going to try to set up a moratorium for Ukraine and Russia to stop going after one another, at least the vessels in the Black Sea. I know the U.S. Had asked Ukraine to not do that because they're caught with high crude oil prices. So, but that's another item. So, yeah, you know, everybody goes, oh, there's going to be a moratorium. They'll get back to shipping wheat and corn again. Realize they just have a new crop wheat market that they just in the process of harvesting. So, you know, everything kind of took a tumble yesterday, you know, and try to say it was position squaring ahead of today's numbers. Well, that was a bunch of nonsense. But then overnight, you hear the report that, you know, Ukraine went after one of the primary ports in Russia. So, you know, boom, we're right back up again. That was the initial catalyst. Then you get the USDA throwing their numbers into the mix. You know, so you got to do a little bit of deep dive into these numbers. Everybody looks at, well, the production is higher. The yield is lower. Well, acres are higher. And those turn out to be pretty much offsetting issues.
Tom Fritz with EFG Group. Settlements from Wednesday, September corn up 20 and a quarter at 457. December also 20 and a quarter higher, 480 and three quarters. September soybeans gaining 13 and three quarters at 1165 and a quarter. November beans 14 and a half higher, 1183 and a quarter. And September wheat climbing 22 and a half to 652 and three quarters. October live cattle, though, dropping 252 to 223.80, but October lean hogs up 22 cents at 83.55. Check out our website. It's MichiganAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Michigan Ag Today, Michigan's Farm Network.